Hour number three of 3D here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Darren McFarland and Willie Donick here with you on this Tuesday afternoon. Hope everybody's having a great day. D-Mace will be back in the saddle with us tomorrow. Tonight it's the Predators and the Avalanche. A little one-game homestand. Had a one-game road trip in Chicago on Saturday. This will be a one-game homestand before back out on the road Thursday and Saturday. Be back in the Eastern Conference again. And remember, Saturday morning, it's strange to say that, but a Saturday morning drop of the puck, 11:30 Central Time. We'll have pregame starting at 10:30, and hopefully I will have a buffet set up in studio because I think it's only appropriate that we have breakfast on Saturday morning before pregame. We're now
more of a brunch, don't you think? Could be a
brunch.
Could be a brunch.
Brunch is fine. Yeah. Both are appropriate.
And we will not be staying for the Knicks game, which is later that day in Madison.
Oh, they're
Square
doing
Garden.
A little double dip.
Well, that's why the game is that early.
Okay.
Yeah, it's a double dip.
I think I'm okay with early games.
Okay.
I guess we'll find out how the coach feels about that and how the coaches and players feel about an early, because that is different. So let's bring in Kevin McCarthy. He now joins us. Coach, how you doing?
Very good, thank you.
So how do you adjust? Because, yeah, and I know that there are earlier games in the schedule. We've seen maybe a 2 o'clock start, but 11:30 Central Time, it'll be 12:30 where you're at. That is rearranging your schedule. Do you take any measures whatsoever to kind of get everybody's body? Because they were talking about Mike Mularkey had a practice over the weekend at night just to get them used to their bodies playing at night because it's different.
Maybe if there was like we're starting in Philadelphia for that trip there too, so we'll be you know by that point pretty accustomed to the Eastern time, and you know players I think enjoy those afternoon games, 12:30, 1 o'clock, 2 o'clock. I know guys get a chance to sleep in a bit. They get a chance to focus on the game a little bit longer. And I think that a lot of times you're not wasting any energy. You know, obviously the pregame skate in the morning, you come back and play at night. So I think from an energy standpoint, I enjoy those games.
I don't have the matinee record in front of me last year, but I, off the top of my head, I believe it was your friend. I believe you guys did all right in matinee hockey last season.
Well, the biggest thing obviously is the focus that the players have to have, because you know you're like Lavi says all the time, you go from eating eggs at 10 o'clock in the morning to get into a fist fight maybe. So you got to be ready to play, and I think we've got a good group of guys that prepare themselves well. So I don't think that's going to be an issue.
Have you noticed at all? And I know it's a small sample, but have you noticed teams taking a different approach with you guys, maybe as opposed to last season because of what happened?
Oh, definitely. I think that any time, we were in the same position. When you're playing a team that went to the Stanley Cup Finals or a team that won the Cup, I mean, there's no easy games. I mean, those teams are using you as a benchmark regardless of where you are, in the season. So, you're not going to be able to sneak into a building and sneak out anymore, obviously, and especially with the situation that we created last year for ourselves and in a good way. You have that target on your back now. Teams are going to sit back and they're going to measure how they are by how they play against you. And, that's a good thing because it's going to make you play your best hockey. And as the season goes on, it'll make you better quicker.
You've been with Lavi for a long time. You've been here now for a while. So you understand the rigors of a long NHL season and then the next chapter in the playoffs, because it's a different season. The next season, I guess, is called playoffs. Do you ever get like, let's just use last year as a good gauge. Did you ever at any point, you guys get in a room, you guys being the coaches, and feel like something special was burning, or is it impossible to figure that out in the course of a season? Was there any point where you go, you know what, I feel like this can come together. There's something good here happening, even though you guys went in as the last team.
Well, I think last part of the season, I really liked the way we were playing. I mean, we as a group, the guys had bought into how we needed the play to be successful. And as we approached the playoffs, we felt as a group, and you could feel it in the room. You could feel it by talking to the players that they all knew that they had this quiet confidence about them. And when we went up against Chicago in that first round, there wasn't anybody in that room that was sitting back going, "Oh no, we're playing the Chicago Blackhawks." We all felt that if we played our game, that we could beat them, we had that type of confidence. And, a lot of it was based on how we were playing at that point in the season. And, the previous meetings that we had against Chicago in the playoffs obviously helped us, you know, being in that position to come in and know that we could have success.
I spoke with PK Subban after skate this morning, and I asked him about going through the injuries with the D core last year, and he missed a bunch of games. He missed, I think, 16 games. Ellis missed about a dozen. Roman missed about a dozen. You guys missed, I think it was almost 50 games with not having your core together. I asked him if that maybe helped him with how you guys are having to adjust this season. I won't tell his answer because you can hear it tonight on pregame. I'll ask you the same question. Do you believe that going through that last year and here you are going through it again, is that maybe helped you out of the gates having to learn the adjustments? Playing with different pairings.
Yeah, definitely. I think that, you know, knowing that we had guys put in those positions last year, a guy like Matty Irwin that went up and played the right side, and you know, with Yost, he went up there and played the right side when Ellie was hurt. So there's certain guys that put in that roles last year. So this year when it did happen, you know, it was very comfortable for us as a staff to be able to make those adjustments. And we've always said that, we've got 8 NHL defensemen, you know, that on our roster that we feel comfortable with playing every night. And, you know, obviously when our top four are healthy, there's not a better top four in the league. And, you know, so it kind of takes away from those other four defensemen sometimes as to how good they really are. And we've got complete confidence in our lineup. And whatever 6D we play, we have confidence that they can do the job.
Predators associate coach Kevin McCarthy is with us here on 3D. And Kevin, you were a defenseman yourself, and I was just looking. There was a nice piece that NHL.com did on Hal Gill, and we've heard his perspective a lot on just the evolution of what a defender has to do depending on the direction the game is going. The game is always evolving. Sometimes it goes in cycles. What you were doing may not work 1 year. It might come back a few years down the road. But how do you try to do that? How does your playing experience help you with this year's uniqueness? Because right now we're in a fresh set of rules now that everybody's still adjusting to.
Well, I think the biggest thing is being an ex-player, I think a lot of times, you know, I can feel that the emotions that these players are going through during a game, you know, before a game, after a game, being able to say the right thing at the right time to these players when they come off the ice. And, you know, there's certain times that, you know, a player, you don't even have to talk to them. They know exactly what they did, right or wrong. And I always try to use a phrase that I was taught in the, you know, try to, you know, that coachable moment, you know, catch them when they're doing something right and reinforce it, you know, and because too many times you're always talking to them after they make a mistake. So I always try to catch those moments when they've done exactly what we wanted them to do and make sure that they understand that that's exactly what we're looking for. So, and reinforce those situations. And, you know, the defensemen of today's game, I mean, it's all about skating. You know, back when I played, you know, there was your offensive defenseman and but for the most part, most of those guys were you always had your two or three big defensemen that were physical, and that was their job. And nowadays, it's you look at the successful teams that have those six defensemen that can all play and all skate and be able to their puck skills are so important now, and you don't have those big lumbering guys now that are one dimensional players.
One of the things that I heard Peter Laviolette say today along those lines is sometimes you have to look past the final score, which is tough for a lot of fans especially, and for you guys as well. You want the result. You have to have the result a certain amount of times over 82 games. But he really liked the way you guys played for pretty much the whole game in Chicago, even though you came up with a hard luck overtime loss.
Yeah, we talked about that as a staff after the game, obviously. You know, it was a situation where we went into Chicago. We knew it was a team, obviously, that was thinking about, I'm sure they had that that game circled on their calendar in July when it came out, and we knew that. And I thought we responded very well. We came out and we played our game. I mean, I think the simplicity of our game, just, you know, making sure that we manage the puck. You know, we talk about that all the time and putting pucks in areas where we could get the puck back in the offensive zone. And one thing that we hadn't done well enough as a team, as a group up to that point was, you know, just the shot attempts, you know, putting pucks at the net. And I thought then the first period, especially, like we established that and put Chicago back on their heels a bit and forced them to have to play defense. It all comes down to your puck decisions going through the neutral zone, because, you know, if you make the wrong decisions, and we talk about that all the time, you know, you're wasting energy playing defense. And then when you finally do get the puck, all you're looking to do is, you know, get it in deep and get off the ice because you have no energy left. So when you can make those good decisions through the neutral zone, it allows you to play your offensive zone game and allows you to have energy when you're in that zone.
You've got Colorado tonight, and Peter Laviolette said, hey, this is the game you have to be focused on because they look like they're a different team. And if your mindset is the Colorado of last year, because it's a lot of the same names, then you're in for trouble because they look like they're playing a lot more confidently and a lot more successfully.
Oh, definitely. I think obviously, you know, last year was a kind of a tough situation. They didn't hire their coach probably until maybe 2 or 3 weeks before the season. So that's pretty tough for a coach to come in and try to get his system in place and then get the players how they wanted them to play. And he had all summer to obviously get things together and get them playing the way he wanted them to play. And it's pretty obvious that they want to play that North game just like we do. They're a fast team. They built their team that way. They've got some excellent speed up front. You've got a couple of guys in the back end, Barry and Johnson, that are as good offensive guys as there is in the league. So, you know, they're after six games right now, they're number one in goals against 5-on-5. They've only allowed 3 goals. So, obviously, we know where we're at with our opponent, and our biggest thing tonight is to make sure we come in with the same mindset we had against Chicago and play that North game.
You called up Freddie Gaudreau, who's become a real popular guy among the fans because everybody loves the underdog, and what a great story he was in the postseason last year. But you've been watching him the last couple of years, and it looks like you guys have built a really good trust in him, even though he's still a very young player. You feel like you can put him out there in pretty much any situation, any role.
Oh, definitely. I think that the Milwaukee coaching staff, they just rave about Freddie Gaudreau. You know, they love him. They say he's their smartest hockey player. You know, he's kind of like the Kelly Yarncroc of Milwaukee. And what I mean by that is his hockey IQ is off the charts. Like, he's a really smart player with and without the puck. He knows when to get pucks deep. He knows when he has an opportunity to play offense. And I think with his ability to play center and wing, it just gives us a lot of options. And especially with Nick Bonino out now, you know, it gives us an option to put him at center ice and have 4 centermen playing tonight.
Another guy who's a newcomer I wanted to ask you about is Alexi Emelin, because it's always tough coming to a new team, but it looks like with each passing game, he's getting more comfortable out there.
Yeah, definitely. I think that, after the Pittsburgh game when he didn't play, I think he came back and with a great attitude and just went out there and played his game. Like, he's a simple player. He's not going to do anything flashy, but he's going to kind of reminds you of a Volchenkov type of player that we had here when he was paired with Seth Jones. I mean, he just does everything, the simple plays, and he gets pucks out, he gets pucks in. He's a physical guy. I think him and Subi have got a good chemistry going, and a lot of that was because they played together a little bit in Montreal, so there is that familiarity there. But I think since he's come back after that Pittsburgh game, he's played very well for us, and I think he's got a lot more confidence now, obviously, than he did at the start of the year.
You just said Subi. All right, we need to get this confirmed. We didn't bring this up yesterday, Willie. That's on me. I forgot to bring it up. We talked about him post-game on Saturday night. I think it was Colton Sissons. I don't remember the audio from the locker room. He referred to Samuel Girard as G. Is that what you guys are calling him, G?
Yeah, G is.
Is this kind of like Prince and Madonna? He's just got one one letter? It's just G?
That's it. You know, it's funny how guys get nicknames. And, Sam Girard, you can't really call him Girardi, where people just add a Y to his name. And so just a lot more.
Or Sammy. I thought maybe Sammy.
Yeah, yeah. So I think this, G is a good name for him.
Yeah.
He speaks to a couple languages too, so we're trying to keep it simple for him too. Yeah.
Okay, so we have that confirmed. It's G. I like that.
Yeah.
Real quick, so Phil Housley leaves. He takes the head coaching job in Buffalo. How did that change your role, or did it?
Yeah, obviously, with Phil gone now, I switched. Now I'm working with the defense, and I'm very comfortable with that. I mean, if I had my decision, that's what I would love to do, because that's what I did my entire coaching career, other than the first time I was with Carolina with Paul Maurice, when they already had somebody there working with the defense. But since I've been with Lavi, I've always worked the defense, and up until I came to Nashville. And, obviously with Phil here, who did a great job, and, to me, to go with it, work with the forwards was not an issue. I've done that before, too, so... But if somebody gave me a choice, I would definitely like to work with the D, because, being a former defenseman, I think I can relate a lot better that way than I can with the forwards, because I never played that position.
Yeah. One thing we did talk about last year in the playoff run is you have to be careful on Lavi's pow punch. You have to where you're positioned on the bench. You don't want to be too close to him for the pow punch.
Yeah, you got to make sure, you got to know your distance.
You got to know his reach,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, yeah. What's the old line there? Float like a butterfly, sting like a bee. Yeah, yeah,
yeah. And then when Ryan Johansson did it in the locker room, of course, that video went viral. That was classic. Hey, good to see you. Thanks for doing this.
Hey, no problem. Thank you.
Predators associate coach Kevin McCarthy. Good to see him as always. Predators and Avalanche tonight. Puck drop at 7. We'll have pregame starting at 6. More of 3D next.